Okay, we have just read the parable of the talents. And the parable of the talents, as with most other parables of the Lord Jesus, have to do with the kingdom of God. And in the scriptures, we learn that the kingdom of God is within us. Right? And the kingdom of God is also without us, outside of us, within and without. And the kingdom of God has to do with the gospel. One of the aspects of the kingdom of God has to do with the gospel within us. We as believers, we who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we who have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and then the Lord Jesus is enthroned in our lives. He rules over us, His kingdom within us, and He is our Savior as well as our Lord. And He rules over us. Right? And then also, we find the scriptures, the kingdom of God that is without us, namely, the kingdom of God is found in the church, the body of believers. And how the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church, must grow, must extend, not just in Jerusalem and Judea, but also Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, the kingdom of God on earth, which will culminate when Jesus returns, and then He will rule over this whole earth for 1,000 years. Right? So the kingdom of God are all these. And so the parable of the talents deal with one aspect of God's kingdom, one of the duties or responsibilities we must have in terms of extending God's kingdom and growing God's kingdom, not only in our lives, but also God's kingdom on earth. And in this parable, we learn about investment, right? We invest. We want to do business for the Lord. I mean, here we have a business analogy or metaphor. It has to do with talents. Now, the word talents here, please do not think of natural talents that you may have, like playing the piano or, you know, things like this. But the word talents here has to do with money, right? Material possessions, money that is given to us and entrusted to us. Of course, it has this spiritual lesson that we must learn, but here the parable has to do with the landlord or the master giving his servants money to invest in, right? And to do business with. And they are supposed to make a profit. When you are a businessman, I'm sure you don't want to do. No one does losing business, right? Everybody, if he is a businessman, his fundamental goal is to what? To earn a profit, to gain. I remember Reverend Toh telling us, even in church work, the church is like a trading company doing business for the Lord. And out there in the world, head chopping business, people will do. Right? Losing business, no one will do. And this is also the case with the church. We don't want to do losing business. We want to make sure that when we do God's work, we are profitable. We gain. There is growth. There is increase. And this is important for us to understand. And of course, here, if we want to understand this parable, then we also must take note of the context. And here we are in chapter 25. In the context, well, 25 comes after Matthew 24. And if you know Matthew 24, that chapter concerns what? The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So after the Olivet Discourse with regard to the Lord's return, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, comes this parable of the talents. Well, it has to do with the second coming of Christ. The Lord is coming back very soon. And we see this. All the signs that we see now in the world, and if you read the signs given by Jesus in Matthew 24, we see them all happening at the same time. We see, you know, these things going on in the world. And when we see all these things happening, the Lord says, know that my coming is very near, even at the door. And if we realize this and we understand this, and I'm sure we do, because as Bible Presbyterians, we are very much into eschatology, study of the end times, study of the book of Revelation, many messages on that, and this is good, it's vital, we understand, and we know, and we can see that the Lord has come back very soon. And if that is the case, what are we going to do about it? And if you ask the question, yes, the Lord has come back very soon, what does the Lord want me to do? Well, the Lord anticipates and gives us this parable of the talents. And I'm glad we just sang the song that we must work, we must labor until the Master comes. And that is precisely what we must be doing. To get busy in working for the Lord. Do business. Be busy doing business for the Lord and making gain for His kingdom. And it also tells us that we must be prepared. We are BP churches, right? Bible Presbyterians. BP. BP not only stands for Bible Presbyterians. BP also means and stands for, you guessed it, what? Be prepared. Be prepared. Well, that's the scout's motto. I was very into scouts when I was in school. So now I'm BP. Well, be prepared still, right, holds. We must be prepared for the Lord's return. And here in this parable, it teaches us how to be prepared. If we want to be prepared, we must be busy doing God's business, making profit for Him, making sure we grow in our spiritual life, and the kingdom of God, the church also grows and extends. And if we want the Lord to come back soon, well, one way to accelerate, to hasten the coming of the Lord is to accelerate in missions and evangelism. And that's, again, another theme of our late founding pastor, Reverend Toh. And that's why the BP Church is also known for a great deal of missions and evangelism. And we are very intensive in our efforts. Although I see today there is a backsliding, but let not Calvary Pandan BP Church backslide in this area of missions, evangelism, and being busy for the Lord and doing good business for the Lord. Okay, how to be busy, how to do profitable business for the Lord. Now, here in this parable, we find the master giving the servants talents, right? Money. And they are supposed to use the money to invest, to get gain, to make a profit. And so, the Lord, who has done all that is necessary for us to be saved, and now that we have believed on the Lord Jesus and become citizens of His kingdom, He has given to us gifts. He has given to us certain things. And His gifts to us are meant for us to what? Make use. We are supposed to make use of these things for His glory, for His holy purpose, for His kingdom, to fulfill the Great Commission, for instance. And so what has he given to us that we are supposed to be responsible for and to be good stewards of, and then to do business for him and get gain? I can think of three things. The first is the gospel, the gift of the gospel. The second is the gifts, is the gift, all right, or the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the third is material possessions that the Lord has given to us. So let me deal with each one of them and then apply. Now, firstly, the Lord has given to us the gospel, the good news of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, as in this parable, has to do with the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And we know this from verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as or like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So the Lord had already come, and he has already accomplished his purpose on earth, his redemptive mission, and he has now gone back, right, to heaven. But then he has given to us now and trusted us with certain things, and one of them is the gospel. And the very first commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church was the Great Commission. All power is given unto me, right? In heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, meaning all the way until the end of the age, until he comes. So we have this gospel responsibility. And the gospel responsibility, again, is twofold. The gospel within us, the gospel without us. And we must make sure, as believers, if we want to be ready for the Lord's return, we must make sure of our own spiritual health and growth and life. Are we growing in our spiritual life? Do we see our lives changed after we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we producing the fruit of the Spirit? Is there any good produce or products that have come from us believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if we are truly believers, sincere believers of the Lord Jesus, we cannot but produce fruit. We cannot but make a profit. There is going to be profit. Our lives will change for the better. We sin less and less. We are more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Must happen. Will happen and must happen. And if we see ourselves not gaining ground, spiritual ground, in terms of personal holiness, producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, the kingdom of God within us is not growing. And if we don't see any of these evidences of grace of the kingdom of God in our lives, then maybe we are not part of his kingdom in the first place. We are still aliens, strangers to the kingdom of God. We think we are children of God and citizens of his kingdom when we are not. And today there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people thinking they are Christians when they are not. They deceive themselves. Recently I was visited by one of my students. He graduated from FEBC about 20 years ago. And He was from Myanmar, right? Graduated from FEBC with his bachelor's degree. He got married to one of his classmates. She's from Korea. Now, both of them are living and serving in the United States, in California. And he's pastoring a Burmese church in California. And since graduating from FEBC, he went for further studies in the States and got his master's and also his doctor of ministry. And just a few months ago, he graduated with a PhD. And now he is making regular trips back to Burma to teach in a Bible institute over there. Right? See how he can help his own people. And then he was sharing with me how in the United States, although there are these churches, although there are these schools, but you see very little Christianity in the churches and in the schools. A whole lot of the world has come in, and people are no longer interested in the gospel. I mean, the church is just like a community center or a club. And this not only in American churches, he says, even in Burmese churches. They're only thinking of worldly. They are worldly enjoyment, worldly entertainment. They are not interested in spiritual things. And when he says, I want to come here and preach and share with you God's word, they are not interested. After they know that, you know, he's quite fundamental. No, thank you. And not only in the States, when he comes over to Singapore, there are a number of, Burmese churches, congregations in Singapore, and he says no to him. They're not interested in studying the Bible. We don't want to study the Bible. And now he goes back to Myanmar, he sees the same thing. There are those who are, born into Christian families. The older generation may be true and sincere Christians. Well, they suffer a great deal, right, in the past. And then, through all that tribulation and persecution and hardship, well, they don't give up their faith because they really know their Lord and Savior. The kingdom of God was very real in their lives, the older generation. But the new generation, they grew up in a Christian environment, right, in a home. They grew up in a Christian home. They go to church, but then they have never experienced what it means to be born again. They still go to church, but then out there, they smoke, they drink, they party. And now that Myanmar is opening up, well, of course, more wealth will come in. And that means what? Materialism. So I told him, yes, today evangelism is not just to unbelievers. Today evangelism, when we evangelize, we must evangelize Christians. Those who profess or claim to be Christians, are they really Christians? We cannot take for granted today. Some of them claim to be Christians, but they don't know the gospel. They don't know what it means to be saved. They don't know what the good news is all about. And that's very true. But we have to take stock of our own life, make sure that we truly are saved and born again. And how do we know that? We know that when we see the evidence of fruiting in our lives, of good works, of transformation, of change, behavior for the better. And we see these things happening. Well, thank God. This is one evidence you are truly a child of God, a citizen of God's kingdom. We see this in the faithful servants here, those who are profitable, right? They gain. They will gain. They must gain. But then there is this other servant given one talent and absolutely what? No gain. So here in this parable, Jesus is really trying to tell us there are two types of people. There are those, and even within the church, there are those who are truly believers, and there are those who are false believers. There are those who truly possess faith, and those who profess faith, but never truly possess faith. And how do you know them? And how can we tell? No profit, no gain at all for the Lord Jesus Christ, even in their life. And so you find this third servant, right? He's called a servant. He apparently knows the Lord, and the Lord knows him, but it's not the kind of relationship that saves. And here there is no profit and no gain at all. And we see this. We see this in what he said to his master when the master came and he had to give an account. And what did he say? Right? What are the characteristics of false faith and false belief? Well, we see this here. Look at verse. Now, those who are born again, truly citizens of God's kingdom, will produce fruit, and there will be results, there will be profit, right? And we know this from verse 20. It says, and so he that received 5 talents came and brought out the 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. 100% profit. Yes, all true believers will make 100% profit. Because our salvation is 100%. We already have the victory. The gift is there already. And it must happen. It's 100%. Right? And even the other, verse 22, the other one given 2 talents. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Also 100% profit. In other words, if we are truly believers, our lives will change, must change according to God's promise, according to God's word. Will happen. The Holy Spirit will make sure it happens. Right? And He will drive you towards, producing this kind of a fruit. It's not status quo, hentak kaki, nothing happens. Right? But the third one, who's given 1 talent, now look at what he said. Verse 24. Right, it says here, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, please don't be quickly and be easily impressed by someone who calls Jesus Lord. Jesus already warned on the last day, many will come to me and say what? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out demons, done miracles, and Jesus said what? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Right? So over here, this servant calls Jesus Lord. And I knew thee, he says, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Now, he said this of his Lord. Is this a true statement of his Lord that he is such, you know, a person? He says, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man. In other words, you are like a tyrant. A hard man. Very hard to please. Very harsh man. Very unreasonable. He says this of his master over here. And then he goes on to say, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. In other words, you have not done anything, but you expect something. You give nothing, and you expect something. You are a very hard man. You reap where thou hast not sown, and you gather where you have not strawed. Out of nothing, you expect something from me, from your people. You are a hard man. I know you. And those who say they know the Lord, they really don't know the Lord. Think of him in the wrong way. In a very bad way even. This is a false accusation. That the Lord is really a bad person. Very unreasonable. Is this true? That he has not given anything and expects something from his servants? The Lord had already given what? I mean, these servants deserve nothing, right? The master has graciously given to them. One servant, he gave 5 talents. I mean, they don't deserve the talents, but he gave them. I'm going on a long journey. You have nothing, so I give you 5. Right? You don't deserve it, but I give to you, so do something with it. Invest, make gain. And the other one too. You had nothing, I give you something. Make gain. And even to this third one, he gave 1. He had something. The Lord did sow. The Lord did give. And he says, you never gave us anything. You expect something from us. Oh, what an evil, evil accusation. Speaking evil of his good master. See, if you are true believers, we'll never think badly of our God. We'll never, never speak badly of our God. If things don't go well, we don't blame God. If things don't go well, we examine ourselves. Maybe I've done something wrong. God is always good. God is always right. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've done something wrong. Right? And maybe I'm in the wrong. You never think that God is in the wrong. Do we think like this? Those who call themselves Christians, and if something goes wrong in their lives, they blame God. Even when they read the scriptures, if there's certain things they don't understand or they don't agree with, they judge the Bible. They say the Bible has a mistake here, instead of saying, no, I'm ignorant. I don't know. But God cannot be wrong. How can his word be wrong? God makes no mistakes. I'm mistaken. Let God be true. And every man a liar. Right? But here you have someone thinking he's very good when he's not. And then God is very good. He thinks he's very bad. And then by a false judgment and accusation. What else? Look at verse 25. And I was afraid. He says, I was afraid. I was afraid of you. And went and hid the talent in the earth. So you gave a talent, I hid it in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. So I went to hide it. Right? And he did nothing with the talent. The master says, this talent is for you. And then he gave a command, go and make a profit. He what? He disobeyed. He disobeyed. He rebelled. And so now you're back. I just return to you what you have at first given to me. And how did the Lord respond? In verse 26, the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. That is a true and righteous judgment. He was wicked. His first statement against his Lord, you are a harsh man, you are unreasonable, you are a tyrant, you know, you give nothing and expect something. That's a wicked statement he made. And the judgment's right. Wicked, you are a wicked man. And you are slothful. Yes, I've given you something, and instead of doing something, working hard, and if you work hard, you sow in tears, you will reap with joy. He didn't work hard. He just didn't care. Right? Maybe enjoyed himself, lazed around, didn't do anything. You are slothful. slothful, and again, a right judgment. And thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. And if I am such a man, as you say, then what should you have done? Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, or, you know, put it in the bank. And then at my coming, I would have received my own, the talent I've given to you, plus interest, right? With usury. At least you'll produce something. But you produce nothing at all. You know, the terms here, wicked and slothful, is never used of believers, only unbelievers. So the third servant here is someone who is a false believer, a false servant, not true. The terms here, wicked and slothful, only applied to false believers, false servants, right? And we know his result at the end. What is the judgment? In verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, where is he? In hell. Not in heaven. And by virtue of these remarks and such statements, this third servant which produced nothing, right, for the Lord. Faith without works is dead. It's a false believer. A false servant, not a true one. But if you're a true believer, you're a faithful servant, you will and you must produce good fruit, spiritual fruit in your life. The kingdom of God within you will grow, right? And that has to do with your spiritual maturity, your personal holiness, your love for the Lord, your love for His Word, your love for one another. That must be the case. So this is the first thing over here. So make sure the gospel that has been given to us, we make gain in our spiritual life, and of course, the kingdom of God without, outside. Are we doing our best to promote missions and evangelism? Are we sharing the gospel with others? I pray we are doing that. The kingdom of God is not vertical, right? Building a Tower of Babel. Many of these mega churches today, they are building their own Tower of Babel. The kingdom of God is horizontal. It spreads out. Not centralization, as my teacher Reverend Till says, but decentralization. And he's always happy if in his church there are members in the church and want to go out and start another outreach or another church, and there is a trained leader amongst them graduating from FEBC, and now they want to start a church. He will give his blessing. Well, that's it. Make gain. Extend God's kingdom. It's not building our own kingdom or empire. It's building God's kingdom. And go out and make gain yourselves for the Lord. And you also will multiply. And other churches will come out from among you. Those who have gone out. And this is definitely a biblical policy. Decentralization. Instead of centralization, not building upwards, but building sideways, extending God's kingdom based on Acts 1 verse 8, right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Go ye into all the world. This horizontal extension. And that's why the Lord blessed the BP Church. Dr. Keith Hinton, who was former professor at the Singapore Bible College. He wrote a book, Growing Churches Singapore Style. And there he made an interesting observation. He says that the Bible Presbyterian Church is the fastest growing church in Singapore, next only to the charismatics. But we know how the charismatics get the people in, right? Very seductive ways they do. But for the Bible Presbyterians, our doctrines, we are strict on doctrine. We have strict membership terms. We practice separation. These are unpopular things, and yet people come. And how is it? Well, it's the Spirit's work. Not our work, but God's work. And it has grown by the grace of God. But as in most, if not all, denominations, and if you study church history, there is always this backsliding. And then apostasy at the end. We are seeing evidence of this, right? This backsliding. I pray it will not reach to, you know, this tragic end of apostasy. And for this to happen, we must continue to preach, to teach, and to defend the gospel and the word of God, so that the next generation will not forget history, will not forget the Lord Jesus and his word, but will hold fast and hopefully will make gain again. We are sort of losing ground, but may we make gain again and be profitable. But loyalty to God and his word, faithfulness to his word, must come first, or else our so-called growing will be in vain. What kind of believers do we want? We don't want believers who will say evil, bad things against God and his word. We want believers and servants who will always think well of their Lord and Savior, will always say the Bible is 100%. No matter what, God is right, I'm wrong. God must judge me. How can I judge God's word? Just simply believing what God says. Faith. And I'm thankful there is a remnant who still hold fast and hold firm. We want to make gain, so that at the end, we want to hear our Savior say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You say the Bible is not so perfect. God is not powerful enough to preserve all his words. And you see the Savior who is so perfect and holy. What will the Lord say to you? How can it be well done?" Right? So we must make gain and do good business for the Lord. Now, second thing we find over here, what has the Lord given to us in order that we might do business and make a profit for him, spiritually speaking? Well, he has given to us spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there are about 21 spiritual gifts. Not all of them we have today, because some of these gifts have passed away. The sign miracles, the signs and wonders, the gifts, the miraculous gifts have passed away when the scriptures were completed by the apostles of Jesus Christ, right? And we don't need all these, you know, sign gifts to grow God's church today. Now that scriptures is completed, we have, I mean, this book itself, you want to see a miracle? This book itself is a miracle. Written over a span of 1,500 years by over 40 writers, most of whom did not know each other. written in 3 languages, in 3 continents, altogether 66 books, and yet speaking of one single theme. What God's wonderful plan of redemption to save his people from sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can that be? Unless there's only one author. It is truly the Word of God. And throughout the centuries, Satan and his agents have tried to destroy this Word and they have not succeeded. We still have God's wonderful words of life with us in our hands today. Well, this is really a powerful, precious, miraculous book. You'll see a miracle is right here, right under your nose. You're looking at it. Why do you want to go and look for miracles elsewhere? When we have a more sure word of prophecy, why go and seek visions and dreams when we have a more sure word of prophecy right here? And when we read of all the miracles that are found in God's word, right? I mean, the parting of the Red Sea, right? All the miracles in the book of Exodus, all the miracles Jesus performed, and the Acts of the Apostles. When you see all these miracles, well, it's as good as seeing miracles with your own eyes. You're transported right back to those days, right? When you read God's Word, you're seeing miracles. And then God has given to us spiritual gifts to help us grow in our spiritual life as well. It's for personal edification. And of course, the spiritual gifts are also gifts to build up the body of Christ, the church. Are we using our spiritual gifts? And we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that it's the Holy Spirit who gives us gifts. Every believer will have at least one gift. Some will have more. And it is up to the Holy Spirit to give to us what He wants us to have. And He will determine what gifts. He knows us best. He will size us up. What is our spiritual ability? And here the Lord also, you know, sized His servants up. Those who are more capable, He gave more talents. Right? The one who has less strength, He gives a little less. Right? He gives just right. I mean, He knows all things. He doesn't give us something and ask us to do something that is above, beyond our ability. He knows us. So even in the giving of spiritual gifts, right, He knows how much time we have, or how much responsibilities, or how much faith, whatever it is, He knows us, and then He will give us to us, right, the number of gifts that we are able to handle and use to help others and to cause the church to grow. And I only have one gift. For me, I only have one gift. I believe the Lord has given me the gift of teaching. I don't believe the Lord has given to me the gift of pastoring. So I never wanted to be a pastor. But now the Lord says, no. You have to pastor the church. And I could not run away. And now the Lord has given that gift. Gift of pastoring. I said, Lord, you want me to pastor the church? You must help me. I cannot do it. I know my weaknesses. I have my limitations. You know, I'm more at home with books than with people. Right? You want to be a pastor? You must really be with people. And the Lord has helped me. I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. You want to be a pastor? You have to preach. Right? I'm more a teacher than a preacher. I have my limitations. But if the Lord wants you, He is the one who decides and He will give to you. And how do you know what gifts you have? Or which gift you have? Please don't go and take a quiz or take a test. Have you done that spiritual gift test before? How many of you have done the spiritual gift test? So now you know which gift you have? How many of you have not done such tests? Don't ever do it. You may deceive yourself. You know, I tried it once because when I was in Bible college and we gullible students, one of our lecturers say, oh, you know, this how to get your people to know what their spiritual gifts are. So he gave us a list, you know, and then with a all you know with a list of questions people are supposed to answer, and then at the end you tally the marks, and then you know what gifts you have. So I tried it. I tried it on the youth group, right? Lively teens. I got the young people to do it. In the end, you know what we found out? All the girls have the gift of pastoring. I say, uh-oh. Can't be right. So how to know which gift we have? I think what my teacher, Dr. John Wickham, said is very right. You don't have to take a spiritual test. You know your gift when you try to live, you do your best to live out your Christian life in the church. All right? Be active. Be spiritually active in church. Be involved. Be engaged. And then the Lord will give you opportunities, right, of service. And you must be willing to participate. And then by and by, when you find yourself, when you do a certain thing, or you perform a certain service, and you find that people are being blessed, right? People are blessed. People are helped. And then you also, you find great joy and peace. That's a confirmation. The Lord has given you that gift. And then focus on it, develop on it, right? And then if you are responsible in one area, you have done well, he'll give you more gifts so that you can do more for him in the church. It's a hands-on thing, right? It's not just academic. You take a test, you have to do. And when you do, the Spirit will guide you step by step, what he has given to you, what he has for you to do. So may you do that. Are you using your spiritual gifts? Are you active in the church? Are you seeking for opportunities to help fellow believers in their faith, in their spiritual life? Well, do it. And then you find Christian living to be very, very fruitful, exciting. And then when you see people grow, people being helped, you find such encouragement, right? Happiness. Like, you know, when one soul is led to the Lord, oh, the heavens rejoice. And I'm sure we will too, while also helping fellow believers in their faith, using our spiritual gifts and people are helped. You will also experience that joy, right? And happiness. So we extend God's kingdom, make profit by using our spiritual gifts rightly. And then thirdly, material possessions. The Lord has given to us also material possessions. And it goes without saying that church work, church business requires money. Right? You lights here, water, electricity, and you have to pay your bills. And you want to do overseas missions, well, traveling expenses, the work there, if the people are very poor over the other side, the believers are very poor, well, you have to support them until they can what? They can be strong enough and stand on their own two feet, and then they support themselves and then help others. But we may have to come in, and that involves what? Funds, right? Finances, money. So God has given to us material possessions, physical wealth, so that we might extend his kingdom. And so it's important for us to make sure we do our duty to what? Give our tenth. We must tithe faithfully. What you earn, 10%, belongs to the Lord, doesn't belong to you. You must give to the Lord, 10%. And then on top of the 10%, there is the offering, the thanksgiving offering. The Lord has helped you in your life. heard your prayers, answered your prayers, or delivered you from sickness or disease or an accident, or has blessed you with a job or, you know, something, and then you're grateful. Don't just give thanks with your lips. Give thanks also with your substance. And when you give to the Lord, of course, the money is used. It is His money, and the Lord has appointed spiritual, mature men to make sure that the money is used to extend God's kingdom. And you, Calvary Pandan Church, I mean, you're relatively sizable. You have resources. You have this, you know, church building. You know, many of the other churches, especially churches that today taking a strong stand on God's word, we are meeting in rented premises. But you have your own building. And there are churches out there, they have their own buildings, they are very self-contented and self-centered. They keep others out, they want to keep others out. It's only for us. That's making losing business for God. You want to be profitable, you must be generous, you must be giving. And I'm glad you are. In True Life, we have young couples who want to get married. Pastor, where to go? You know, they want to book some place outside. I said, no, come here. Get married in church is the best. And that's Calvary Pandan. And I'm glad that each time they come, you, of course, if it's available, you welcome them to use. That is a great blessing. You extend God's kingdom. You built up the faith and hope and love of God's people when you use all these materials, resources that you have. Right? By lovingly helping others. And of course, you also give to the Bible College. You grant the students' scholarships. You have missions overseas. You contribute a great deal. And I'm glad you're gaining for the Lord. And when you are useful for the Lord will give you the increase more. I think the congregation now is increasing. And that's good. If you have been given some, you're faithful in the some, you'll be faithful in more. And the Lord will give you more. And when you're faithful in more, He will give you much. And you should be faithful in much. So you have an open door policy. Just like Reverend Toh, you know, Life Church. In those early days, there were no gates. It's open. Anyone can come in. And it's always welcome. And the Lord prospered the church. And this is based upon this principle here from the parable of the talents. Make gain with what God has given to you, to us. And then at the end. And how must we do it? Well, we must do it. We must go about doing this faithfully. Right, faithfully. We must not be lazy. The first two servants were, I'm sure, worked very hard. They were given five. One was given five, he made five more. One was given two, he worked hard, right? He made two more. We must be hardworking. We must be faithful. And we also must do this lovingly. Right? We do it not because we are forced to do it. We do all these things. We do God's business because we love Him. We do it lovingly. And this is seen by, in the first two, because when the Lord comes back, they were very excited. They were very enthusiastic. They went up to Him and said, they said, Lord, you gave me five. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. They were very, excited. And they said, behold. You know, the word behold is a very intensive way of speaking about looking. I mean, they're practically saying to the Lord, Lord, look, look, you know, with excitement. I've gained 5 more for you, 100% profit. And the other one also. So they served the Lord faithfully, working very hard, and lovingly also, right? They were eager that the Lord should return, and they have something to show for it. They were not ashamed. That must be our spirit. And when we serve the Lord with the right heart, with the right mind, in the right way, according to His will and His word, in the end, we will get a reward. And so the Lord rewarded His servants here, the good and faithful ones, right? And rewarded them with what? Well, He rewarded them with, first there was this commendation, right? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I think all of us want to hear this, right? Like my students in FEBC, they always, after the exam, when the grades come out, what do they want to see? Not a D or an F, but an A. An A. And then I'll put there very good or excellent. This commendation. God will give us the final grade, and if we will do well, if we belong to Him, and He will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Commendation is one. It's one reward. And what is the next? It is promotion. It is promotion over here. So, promotion in that, look at this. Let me just locate the verse. Right, look at verse 23, it says here, His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Now he was a servant, now he's promoted. Now you are a governor, right, ruler over many things, and enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So when the Lord comes, He will establish His kingdom here on earth. He will be dispensing with the rewards. There's commendation. And then there is also promotion. When the millennial kingdom comes, the Lord will make us to rule with Him for 1,000 years. All right? So that will happen. But be faithful now. We'll be faithful then. All right? And He'll point us to positions of power and authority to rule. And then the third thing we find over here, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well, that is heaven itself, eternal life. Eternal fellowship and communion with the Lord. And of course, this will be experienced by all true believers. Right? And make sure, the kingdom of God is within you. And when the kingdom of God is within you, you will see your life change. You will bear fruit for the Lord. And ultimately, you will see the Lord face to face. And we must work hard for Him. We must be faithful. And then, how we long to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May the Lord help us to do just that, especially in these last days. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for how Thou hast taught us through parables. And we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy kingdom. And surely Your kingdom is everlasting. We thank Thee, O Lord, that we have eternal life in Thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray, O Lord, that we will be good citizens of Thy kingdom, will bear good fruit for Thee, and will do our best to serve Thee even until the very end. So bless all Thy people here. Grant us much grace. Fill us with Thy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.